Welcome to Federal Sense with your friendly HR guy.
Hello, this is your friendly HR guy, and this is another episode of Federal Sense, where we talk about being a supervisor in the federal government and how to do that. I got a few emails with similar topics, but I'm going to pick one out in particular. Someone that's reading a book, one of my favorite books, Civil Servant, which talks about disciplining government employees. They have a good example, and I know what this manager is talking about, the example they give in the book about four employees. And I'm going to give you the textbook version of what's in this book and the textbook answer, and then I'm going to tell you the Federal Sense answer, the common sense for federal supervisor answer on what's really going to work and how that textbook answer is great on paper, but it won't work. It won't work. So the example is you have four employees. They each have their own office, and the supervisor notices one of them, his name is Edward, one of them is always on the phone, right? He's always on the phone talking, and the manager's not sure who he's talking to, but the other three are on the phone maybe twice a day for 10 minutes and doesn't think the job needs to be, you know, an all day on the phone kind of position. That they kind of infer, you know, insinuate that that it's you know, it's not a phone job, right? So you have this one, his name's Edwards, he's on the phone all day long. They don't go into and the book, it's Uncivil Servant. Let me get the official book there we're talking about. Uncivil Servant, Holding Government Employees Accountable for Performance and Conduct by William B. Wiley. That's the book we're talking about. And so the example is you've got four employees, and one of them uses the phone excessively. The example doesn't get into, you know, if this person isn't doing their job or somehow, you know, their performance is being affected. But let's say it is. I got to assume it is, right? So the recommendation in the textbook is that the manager can require Edward to submit a phone log every day. So they're going to give him an instruction to keep a phone log. So everyone you talk to is log in the phone number, what you talked about, you know, and how long in the duration of that phone call. And you're going to submit it every day. And presumably, if they don't, you're going to do discipline for failing to follow instructions. That on textbook, that sounds amazing, right? And the book is correct. You can do that. That's not discrimination, because that is based, is not illegal discrimination. You're discriminating based on conduct and, you know, merit. You can do this. Now let me give you the rest of the story, as my favorite radio guy would say. You can do this, but if you think this employee is stealing time by making personal phone calls all day, do you think it would be below them to lie on that log, to cleverly come up with a way? Here's what would happen. The employee would do this, probably would make probably five or six different logs with the dates and times blank. He would photocopy them, and then every Monday or every Tuesday, he would submit a log where he'd fill in the times, the made-up people he talked to. He'd come up with great reasons, and if you called these numbers, people would answer and say, oh yeah, we were talking about, you know, this work-related thing. I've seen employees get burner cells and give them to their friends and say, if anybody calls this, just, you know, or burners where there's a voicemail from a friend, and so you think you've just missed the person they called. The point here is, if an employee is stealing time, making them create a log to document their crime or their misdeeds is not going to work. True, there's a small part of these slippery employees that'll just knock it off for 6 or even 8 weeks, and then they'll come up with some other way to do it. And again, this textbook example gives this as an option for a manager without really talking about the work product. But let's assume that Edward, the one out of four people, is not doing as much work. That should be the guidance. Address the fact that they're not producing as much work or they're not completing their work, you know, within a reasonable time. Even if you know why they're not doing their work. You know, oh, I know Edward's not doing his work because every time I walk by his office, he's on his phone, right? That's a symptom of the problem, right? The problem is he's not doing his work. Why he's not doing his work, does that matter? You think you're going to fix it by taking the phone away or making him log every time he uses the phone. You know what he'll do is he'll only log when he sees you walk by his door. Sees you walk by his door, he's like, oh, he'll hang up the phone. Hey, mom, I got to call you back. He'll hang up the phone. He'll call a work person, bring up some reason to talk to him. And then all you're doing is making him really have to call people every time you walk by his office. And he's going to get even less work done. And now he's going to say, well, I couldn't get my work done because I was you doing this log that no one else has to do. So now when you go to try to address the fact later on that he's not getting his work done, he can say, well, yeah, I spend all day logging everything in. Nobody else has to do that. So you're actually working against yourself. Focus on the work. I've said over and over again, focus on the work. Because there's the nexus to your mission. There's the efficiency of the service, right? Because that's what discipline is for. It's for the efficiency of the service. How does that logbook, how does the logging every phone call increase the efficiency of the service? It doesn't. And you think you're going to reduce it. You might, but if anything, you're giving him more work and work that is not productive. It doesn't actually help with the mission. It doesn't help with his actual assigned duties. And now he's got a nice little excuse of what you make him do that no one else has to do, right? So this textbook answer of an option you can do as a supervisor, can you do it? Sure. Will it work? I don't think so. I think it's giving him an excuse for not doing as much work. It's giving him something that he'll just, he'll find a workaround. Edward's a slippery employee. Out of four, you have one that's not bad. You have to manage him a little different, but you assign them work and hold them accountable to do that work. They're going to come in with every excuse possible. So you start having one-on-ones where you know, if something's due in a week, maybe on the second day you meet and you say, all right, well, show me where you're at so far. Let's see if you can kind of, you know, cut those excuses off at the pass. You know what I mean? Like, because let's say that it's due Friday and Friday morning he comes up and goes, yeah, I can't find a template that it works for this assignment. And you can say, it's right there. You know, here's the folder. It's the fifth example. It's right there. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I need more time. So if you have that kind of employee, and again, I don't like this example because you're talking about being on the phone. In the federal government, an employee can use the government phone for personal use as long as it's de minimis. You know, you can pick up the phone and call your wife or your spouse, your husband, whoever, and say, you know, hey, I'm going to be a little late, blah, 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 blah. As long as it's de minimis, meaning, you know, it's small and it's not a huge cost to the government. Now, can you make 6,000 copies of your band's flyer? No, because that paper, you know, that's $80 in paper. That's not, you know, a de minimis cost. But can you email your spouse? Yeah. Can you call them in a brief conversation? Yeah, when you're on break. And you know, really, we all have flexible schedules, most of us. So you can use it. So to say they can't use the phone for personal use is not correct, right? But if you focus on the work and manage that piece, you'll be a lot more successful than trying to create more arbitrary work that is not going to get you. If you're correct, and they're stealing time and they're abusing the phone and they're not getting their work because of it, do you think asking them to log in their crime is going to change anything? If you do, try it. And when the same problem happens, and now they're aware you're monitoring them, and they just get more clever. That's what I've always seen. I've had managers call me all the time, and they say, oh, this person is doing this. And I'm like, all right, well, how's the work? Well, it's a little slow. You know, he doesn't work as fast, or, you know, I can't give him the complex jobs. And I'm like, all right, well, that's what I would focus on. The reason he doesn't work as fast is probably because of that phone. But does that matter? Let's address the work stuff. And then if his excuse is, well, I'm on the phone with my wife all day, I don't have time for this, then we can talk, right? But I don't think he's going to say that. And generally with these kind of employees, when you address the work, you get about 3 to 4 months of good work out of them. And then you readdress it and you kind of progress your addressing the issue. But creating a log, I have so many managers I've seen where they do a weekly work log. And it's like, oh, just keep track of what you do all week and submit this log. And the good employees do it. And it's just, you know, another 20 minutes of work for them. And the bad employees, they forget. And then Monday, the employee, you know, the supervisors are chasing them down to get this log. And then, oh, yeah, I was busy with this and busy with that. I didn't get to it, but I'll do it today. I'll do it today. And then you probably get it by Wednesday. And then guess what? They haven't been doing it all week because, you know, they've been catching up on last week's. And you've spent 4 or 5 interactions and phone calls and emails and, you know, touch bases. And you've created more work for yourself to somehow catch them not doing work. But just look at the work product, the output. You know what they're doing. I don't need you to make a log for it. Logs don't work, in my opinion. I don't see any reason to do it. Now, can you call the business, you know, the office manager and ask for a phone report? Sure. Google the phone numbers? Yeah. Start an investigation. This might be discipline. Start an investigation. Get that you know, some agencies won't do this. Some will. If you can get a hold of the log, you can Google them, find out where they are, you know, who they're calling and how long they called, and then just have an investigatory meeting where you present it to them and say, hey, knock this off. And then you give them a little letter of warning. That's one way to do it, but having them keep a log of their misdeeds, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. And then you've told them you're tracking them, so every time you walk by, they'll put the phone down or they'll put something in the log. It doesn't work. And that's the difference between textbook and federal sense is – federal sense is don't, you know, it's the common sense for these federal managers. Don't waste your time on stuff that's not going to work. If you think they're stealing time and using the phone excessively, do you think they're not going to lie on a log? Do you think they're not going to come up with excuses and then use this extra log as an excuse why they aren't getting as much work done? It's not going to work. The textbook is very good. I actually like this book, but it kind of ignores the reality of, you know, boots on the ground, real world scenarios. That it shows me that here's a lawyer who has seen the high level big cases, but has never really had these kind of slippery employees that, you know, basically lie. And when you're dealing with a liar, you'll never win. If you go head to head against a liar, they don't have any restrictions. They just lie. You know, you make them make a log. Well, they'll lie on the log. You catch them in a lie on the log. They'll just say, oh, I messed that up. I guess I put the wrong number. And, you know, it's just so busy. I have so much logging to do. I couldn't keep track. And, you know, you're always harassing me about this log. And then now they start building their complaint case. And it's a waste of time. Focus on the work. And I think you'll do better than creating these logs that you know, the example they give in this textbook. I hope this kind of makes sense. This I think knocks off about 3 emails I got where people wanted to do a work log. You know, they had their slippery employee and they want to know if it's a good idea to create a log. And I was reading in this book how I'm allowed to do this. Oh, you're allowed to do a lot of things. As a manager, there's a lot of things you're allowed to do. You have a lot of instruments that are not sharp, that are rusty, and are not effective. I'm going to say I wouldn't waste your time doing that. You're just creating work for yourself. And when it's all said and done, you're going to do all this work, and nothing's going to come from it. that's the difference between the textbook and the federal sense answer is, let's do stuff that makes sense. Let's do that common sense stuff that works and keep it simple. The more complex you get, the more time you're going to spend, the more chances of you messing up, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm going to give you guidance, and then you're going to try to do it, and it's not going to work. That's why I like to keep it simple. Go after the work. Focus on the work. Here's your my expectations. Here's your assigned duties. You need to do it. Hope this helped. If this answered your email, that's good. If not, go ahead and send it again. Maybe I created more questions with this one, but I think I answered a few of those out there. Hope it helped, and everyone have a good day.
Have a question for the HR guy? Send it to federalsense@gmail.com.